Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Thanks.
It is a very sad event in our world. And it's just a glimpse, into the Great Tribulation. So we need to be ready for whatever comes our way in these last days that we're in, and we're in the last days, obviously. But anyway, don't forget we have our website, propheticnews.com. We have our YouTube channel that's in my name, Susan Puzio, and my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? That's available on Amazon and different booksellers on the internet. So those things are available for you for your listening and reading pleasure. Also, Jackie's network, Rapture Ready Radio. Don't forget to check that out. Let me bring my guest on. Jackie.
Hello there.
Also on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. So then we could add listeners that way too. We might as well make those things. Yeah, we might as well use those things. I've never used them for the broadcast, but I think that it would be a great platform to use because there's so listening to clips today, and I've been listening to some of these false prophets and false teachers. And when you listen to them, it seems like the only thing that they care about right now is the money. Oh, we're worried about the money, and there's no people won't. We're not going to listen to the government. We're going to keep the doors open, and we're going to continue to have services, and they're not going to stop us. And they're just, they have that spirit of rebellion, and they don't really care about their congregations. They're worried about their money. That was the big takeaway that
wow,
I came
yeah.
away with anyway.
Well, you know, everybody is going to be suffering financially in this crisis. You know, people in the service industries, the waitresses, now they're closing all the diners. And so, again, I don't know if – I know that they're cracking down harder in places where this virus is, you know, has more positive results. And so, like New York – Washington and California, they're going to be cracking down harder than the rest of the country because it's not all the same, but it's interesting that maybe, you know, we're not seeing as many lines into the grocery store as we're seeing maybe in, I saw one out of Orange County, or no, I guess Cypress is LA County, and San Diego. That's what it was. So perhaps in California, where there's such a dense population, the stores, everybody's going to be running to those stores. And problem is, the stores don't have any sort of, minimum. You know, you can only buy, you know, you don't be getting 10 things of cartons of water. Save it for the other people. You know, they're not cracking down on hoarders.
Oh, well, they're doing it here. Yeah, they're limiting how much they can take. Yeah, because there was no toilet paper. I couldn't believe it. I walk in, there's nothing on the shelves. There's no paper towels. There's, like we were talking, no bananas. You can't get a banana. And there was hardly any bottled water left. And the stores look a wreck. I mean, you can tell that people have been coming in And the stores just, they didn't look clean. You feel sorry for the people working in the stores because they're under a lot of pressure. They have to be with the public all day. And so it's a mess, really. And closed stores all over the place. Penny's is closed. And a lot of the restaurants, a lot of the big chain stores here are closed up. So, and we're in Florida.
You're in Florida, in Texas. I'm in Texas. And, you know, we have had, you know, in the main city, I'm outside the city, but the city of Austin has had, I think, 41 cases. But, you know, here's the problem.
Wow.
Is not everybody's being tested, and so we don't know if there's other cases if people aren't getting tested for it.
Well, that's it. You don't know. And I think even some people, even if they thought they had it, they probably wouldn't tell anybody because the outrage with the neighbors, and it would cause a panic. If you knew, say you knew your next door neighbor had it, you'd be like in a panic almost because they're so close. So I think some people probably wouldn't even say anything.
Speaking of neighbors, I'm in an apartment complex and the person on the other side is hacking and coughing. I can hear him through the walls, but then again, he's a heavy smoker. So, you know.
Well, that's why he's hacking, probably hacking and coughing, because they do. They cough a lot, especially if they've been smoking. But it is, when somebody coughs when you're out, you do try to run away from them as far as you can go, you know. But I'm trying not to go out. I'm a homebody anyway, but I don't go out that much. And especially now, if there's no reason to go, you're just better off staying home, because they seem to be containing it somewhat because of the fact that people are staying in, and they're trying not to have so much contact with other people. So I think it's really helping to stay the course of this thing, because it hasn't reached its peak yet.
Really, well, again, if a peak looks like what happened in China and what happened in Italy, then that would be something that would put the fear in all of us. But the thing is, this extreme social isolation and everything is supposed to prevent that, so that it will never come to a peak like that if we all comply with what we're told to do and stay, only go out for necessities and then wash your hands and all of that and you know, to try to prevent it. And, you know, I understand it's very, very contagious. And so I guess people in areas that don't see any cases have, you know, a little more comfort than those, you know, in the middle of Los Angeles or Seattle or New York might feel right now.
Well, that's it. And I know some people, they've been hearing so many different things about the virus, and they don't understand, because they say, well, the flu killed more people. Well, this is not the flu. And it's a lot more contagious than the flu. And the reason why you're not seeing such a large number of people dying yet is because they're trying to contain it. People are trying to practice, do these washing their hands and not going out so much. So they're trying to contain it. Whereas the flu, most people, when they have the flu, and they shouldn't do this, they go out. They go to church, they go to work, they send their kids to school. So they spread it. So, of course, more people were getting, it seems like more people were getting the flu and dying of the flu. But this thing's a lot deadlier, and it's more like a pneumonia. It gets into your lungs, and some people, that's what they said, that they were having trouble breathing, and they could even suffer from permanent lung damage after. When you get the flu, you don't have to go on a respirator. So this is a lot different. No, this is a lot different than the flu. But I also noticed that some of these preachers, and I just thought it was despicable. They were kind of snubbing their nose at the fact that they were supposed to quarantine, and they weren't supposed to have more than 50 people or 10 people in their services. But some of the people said, we're not doing it. Like Rodney Howard Brown, he said, I'm not doing it. And Jesse Suplanter said, I'm not doing it.
Wow.
And, yeah. We'll play some of these audios as the show progresses, but just arrogant, totally arrogant, and no consideration. Oh, shake hands, Rodney says. Grab your neighbor's hand. Oh.
You know, I was listening to I won't say his name, but he's a Calvary Chapel pastor who does a weekly update, and he talked about how the Passover, well, in Exodus, how the blood was put over the mantles and nobody got the illness who did that, and we're covered in the blood, and so those who are covered in the blood, I mean, he didn't come right out and say it, but he was making the comparisons, like, if you're covered in the blood, then it's going to pass you by. Well, this, you would have to, I was kind of angry, and I responded, and I kind of deleted it, because I don't want to speak out in anger, but I had made a comment on the YouTube thing that, well, then you just desecrated the faith of any Christian that got it, right? Oh, then you must have been covered in that blood if you caught it.
Yeah.
And see, that kind of rhetoric is really damaging to people because, you know, he's not even one of these guys that teaches word faith or something like that. And yet he made that comparison for this virus and for those covered in the blood of Jesus to those in Egypt that weren't touched, that were, you know, behind the doors with the blood on it. That's not a comparison.
No, it's not a comparison at all.
And it's sad when they do that, because it really, and not only that, it might give people, oh, well, I'm covered in blood, Jesus, I can go about anything I want and it can't touch me. Well, that's more presumption than faith.
Yeah, we'll talk to the snake handlers about that. They say, well, we can handle snakes, and then they get bit and they die, right? They fall dead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and pass the poison.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, these people have never been in a cancer hospital with cancer patients. And so, come on. They're heartless.
I don't think they're even thinking of what they're saying. You know, maybe it's just, well, except that he seemed to be following notes. It didn't seem to be impromptu. It was kind of like what the Lord showed him. That's how he, you know, began it. That's what the Lord showed him. Well, then, you know, maybe the Lord showed it for you. That doesn't apply to every Christian walking the planet.
No, because not Christians are affected by sickness and disease just like anybody else. Of course, we believe in divine healing. Jesus, when he walked the earth, he healed people. But that doesn't exempt us from wars and famines and this plague. If they had all the power that they claim to have and they can make all these decrees and declarations and confessions, then how did this coronavirus get here? Why didn't they stop it? Why wasn't one of the prophets there? Why couldn't they see, one of the seers, what was going to happen? You can't stop the book of Revelation. I don't care what they do or who does what. You cannot stop what the Bible has prophesied. So it's going to happen, and we're going to have to endure whatever we have to endure. We're going to have to endure it. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody.
No, but you know, I'll tell you, it's, you know, for us Christians, we are better off than those who aren't, in as far as we know where we're going, and this life isn't all there is. And, you know, that's our comfort that the world has not. So at least we do have that. And that's very important. But it, you know, but at the, on the other hand, you know, we don't want to take chances, because a lot of people rely on us that are going to be left behind if we, you know, get sick and, you know, check out early. But again, God knows. Each of us have an appointed time, and that's when we're going to go. And so certainly faith is important, but yet we can't have faith turning into foolishness when you take risks thinking your faith is going to, you know, keep you protected and everybody else around you. So we have to use our brains and look to Jesus more than ever. In fact, when people are all stuck inside the house, maybe this is a good time for them to get closer to the Lord. And I hope that this that is evil can be turned to good for so many who maybe need to slow down a little bit, reassess things, and get closer to the Lord right now. I hope that's the outcome.
Yeah, that's so true. And a friend of mine was saying this the other day on his radio broadcast that there's these preachers, well, they're worried about their money. And like Paula White, she wants you to sell a $91 for Psalm 91 seed. And Rod Parsley was saying, yeah, well, you know, we get worried about the finances. And so the thing is, it's time for the churches. He was saying it's time for the churches to start doing for the people instead of taking all the time. Well, they're always taking from the congregation. The congregation goes there on Sunday and it's a stick up. So maybe when they get this time off, some of the people won't go back. When they get time off from some of these places that they're going and they come out of the fog, when they're away from it for 3 or 4 weeks, they say, wow, I feel so much better not even going over there and getting held up every Sunday. Wow.
Yeah, those churches that do have an abundance, now is not the time to be taking up an offering. Now is the time to connect with everybody online, see who needs help, and get help
exactly.
to those who have lost their jobs right now or who can't get to work.
Well, the thing is, which seems probably going to seem more obvious in the weeks to come, is a lot of these churches don't have a reserve. They spend everything they have, and they're in debt up to their eyeballs. So when a crisis comes, they don't have a fund set aside, which they should have. They always brag, like the prosperity preachers always love to brag that God wants you to have prosperity so you can be a blessing to others. But they don't want to be a blessing to others. It's all about them and their little kingdoms that they're building. So, it's time for every church to check on their members, make sure everybody has enough money to pay their bills to get through, because it's not anybody's fault that they're not working because of that.
Right.
It's not because they're lazy or they don't want to get a job. They can't work. They can't work.
Right.
So that's the time for the church to step up then. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of that with these people that I looked at their sermons from Sunday, and they were more concerned about themselves and then, of course, making their faith confessions. And we're not going to stop. Rodney Howard Brown says, well, if they tell me I can only have 50 people, I'll have 10 services. I'll run 10 services. Oh,
boy.
Of course, he tells everybody to shake hands. But I didn't notice him shaking anybody's hand.
Yeah, well, no, we're supposed to touch elbows.
No, he told everybody to shake hands, but I didn't see him grab one hand.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see him going up to anybody and grabbing their hands. I don't even know if he was laying hands on. I noticed they're not. I didn't see them laying hands. I don't know if they're going to continue to do it or not. But anyway.
Now, did you see online they had that sign heading towards Bill Johnson's Bethel Church in Reading, and the sign said the healing rooms are closed due to the coronavirus?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they were open for everything else, but not coronavirus. Oh, yeah. Now, what does that say?
Well, they don't practice what they preach, or they really don't believe it.
No, they really don't believe it. They're afraid of it, but they probably wouldn't admit that. But why else would they close down their healing rooms if they weren't afraid of the coronavirus themselves?
And they should have some, you know, some trepidation about that coronavirus. But what the coronavirus is doing is exposing their hypocrisy. It's exposing their false teaching, because this is where, you know, the rubber meets the road, as they say. You know, they really don't believe what they're spewing.
No, they don't believe what they're spewing. when this is only the beginning, and the Bible talks about it. Let me read that scripture to you. 24, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive men. So that's what we're going to see.
Well, that's what we're seeing. Again, you know, that isn't speaking of the Great Tribulation. That's speaking of what leads up to the Great Tribulation over who knows a period of how much. But what we see, and we've been tracking, you and I, since you know, for the past almost 40 years, is those birth pangs getting heavier, closer together, and you know, more powerful, just like as if there was already, the labor pain starting already since some people detect it started back in 1948, but yet there has been this increase. In fact, I couldn't believe it that Salt Lake City had a 5.7 and poor Moroni lost his trumpet the other day.
Wow.
Did you see that?
But that is a sign and a wonder.
Yes, and there was a cluster of earthquakes in around Salt Lake City, actually West Valley, which is just west of Salt Lake. And, you know, they never have earthquakes there. I remember I lived in the Salt Lake City area for about 3 years, a few years back. And I remember checking to see where the fault lines, I went and looked on a map to look for fault lines. And I go, oh, wow, there isn't any there's some in the mountains to the east of Salt Lake, but I don't see any fault lines. I said, good, at least that's one thing I don't have to worry about moving to Salt Lake. And this, there was no fault line to the west that I saw. So where did this come from? Right. You know, and at the same time that was happening, just, you know, what, a couple hundred miles to the east of Salt Lake City is Wyoming and the entrance to Yellowstone. And Yellowstone is a mega volcano ready to blow, and it's supposed to be one of those super volcanoes, you know, with all the, you know, the Old Faithful and the geysers and all that kind of stuff. And they at the same time were having a whole cluster of earthquakes. And so
Wow. Those
things are on the increase. Nobody can deny it that earthquakes are one of those signs that come before the tribulation. I mean, if you think Matthew 24 and all those horrible things is really bad, it doesn't look nearly as bad as what we read when the judgments and the seals and the trumpets go throughout the final 7 years. You know, when the wrath of God comes on, then, you know, then this is child's play compared to that.
Yeah. And I think this is an opportunity too for people to really examine themselves and to turn to God, because you see how in a matter of a week how things changed. People were asked to quarantine, they were not going to work, television programs were being shut down, baseball games, basketball games, you can't go to the movies, you can't go to bars, you can't go to restaurants. How everything has just been shutting down in just a short period of time. You see how God can bring a nation to its knees, how fast it can happen.
Yeah, and you know, it's a good time to be in intercession for our loved ones, that perhaps maybe at a time like this, they might want to know more about what we know as far as what lies ahead and as far as what's going to happen as far as the contractions and the birth pangs, because we notice that every major natural disaster that has hit us in the past 10, 20 years, really, I think a lot of things really started into high gear after 9/11 you know, in 2001, that we could really see the increase in the severity around the world. And there's, if you look up on YouTube, Jason A, the initial A, that guy, I'm not even sure where he comes from, but I'll tell you what, he tracks the signs globally, and he does a good job of it. He uploads once or twice a week with the things going on around the planet, and things are really crazy things going on that he documents, and these are from news reports that are local, maybe around the world, that we don't see here. And it really shows you he really is tracking the birth pangs, because they are getting worse. And so, I mean, I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but if it gets worse from here, what are we going to see when this blows over? What's the next thing?
Yeah. Well, there'll be a next thing. There'll be a next thing, because where did this came out of nowhere, really? Who was expecting it? Who? Nobody. Nobody was expecting this. Everybody was going about their merry way, enjoying their life, enjoying their prosperity. And so it's like when the stock market goes down and people have 401ks or whatever, and it's based on the stock market, you can lose half of your income or three quarters of your income in a day that you were saving up for your retirement. So that changed. And then people aren't working. People are used to bringing in the money to pay their rent and to have a few extra things that they enjoy. All that's changed. Just the fact that you go to the store and you can't buy toilet paper, you can't buy paper towels, you can't buy a banana. And certain things that you're used to having.
And these false prophets use that as an opportunity to get more popularity, to get more subscriptions on their YouTube channels and all of that, because people are looking for answers and they're giving the wrong answers. They're like beating their chest like King Kong or something. And yeah, we're under the blood, it can't touch us, or we need to prophesy it away or something like I had mentioned that Lance Wall now to you. Now he's the guy who wrote the Seven Mountain Mandate. And he had a show recently where he was going to hear from all of the prophets around, and some of them were having dreams and visions, and, you know, and all of it was victory over this, you know, and he kind of even ragged on those who, you know, back when he was a new believer in the 80s, and people were saying, you know, Gorbachev was the Antichrist because he had that.
Yeah.
That thing on his head. And so he was talking some of the bad things, that the speculations that people had, but in a way to just excuse away all of the people thinking that anything can happen until they take over the nations for Jesus. And that was his rhetoric. And you know,
so you sent me?
Yes.
I have that clip. Let's play it, okay?
All right.
I was with Rick Joyner last week, and he was made this one comment, which was interesting. He said Bob Jones had been rebuked by the Lord, and I don't know if it was during the SARS or swine flu or Ebola situation, but the Lord spoke to him and basically said to him, "Why are you tolerating this?" And Bob Jones was saying, "Lord, I'm not tolerating anything. I'm just praying about this." And the Lord said, "I did not send it. Why are you tolerating it? I'm calling upon the prophets to end it." And I don't know which one it was. Rick will have to share that again. I was just so stunned with the story. I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, you ever notice how some of these things like SARS, suddenly it's a big subject, or the Ebola scare, or the swine flu, and it's like major news, and then boop, it's dropped. And then news moves on." He said, "Suddenly these supposed pandemics end." And I thought, man, that's... I didn't hear that story before, but, you know, kind of, now that he talked about it, it kind of made sense. But this one is a little bit different. I want to talk about what makes this different, is that that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, called upon the church to do something. I'm just saying that there's the idea that liquid can respond, that spirit is more powerful than matter. You got that? That spirit is more powerful than matter, and therefore faith is more powerful than virus, because the spirit world forms the natural world. And so there's this idea that lesser authority has to submit to greater authority. These are two laws I learned from Pat Robertson, building his multi-million-dollar, you know, ministry and television network and university. He said these two rules, he just never forgot them. Lesser authority has to yield to greater authority, and spirit controls matter. You put those two things together, and the authority of the word, if under the anointing, has power to vibrate and go out and shake any kind of biochemical liquid, like the water realm, and the realm of nature has to respond to the frequency and the vibration of the authority of anointed utterance. So therefore, your words have power when they're spoken under the anointing.
There you go. No problemo.
Yeah, well, and as you hear, he says Bob Jones heard the Lord.
Yeah, Rick Joyner is the one, I think it kind of clicked in the beginning. He said Rick Joyner told him about Bob Jones explaining how, you know, God said to him, why are you putting up with this, okay? Because
yeah,
you
Bob
have
Jones,
the power
yeah.
to come over it. And then he went on. Then it was there was a break, and we're in the same message, but there was a break between it when he went into this whole spiel about how water responds to vibrations, or some secular guy pointed this out, and, you know, and then he applied that to spirit realm, okay? And, you know, so this kind of stuff is doctrines of demons. It's mythology that you know, again, it was prophesied that they would turn aside their ears from hearing the truth and turn to mythology. And that's what this
yeah.
is. He's promoting
yeah.
mythology as if it were fact, and he's putting some Christian, you know, verbiage to occultism, really, and alchemy.
Yeah, alchemy. Yeah, definitely. But they don't. There are certain parts of the Bible they don't like. And so what did they do with that scripture that I just read in Matthew? What are they going to do with that scripture? Say, well, we'll do the vibrations and then the prophets will come and make it all go away. It's just stupid. It's like Jesse Duplantis. Okay, I have a clip from him. And he fell. Now here's, you know, God's man of faith and power, and he fell down, and he was knocked out when he fell, and he got a black eye. So then he wants to blame the devil, that it was the devil that did it. But he fell. He fell, and he hurt himself. He's hurt. So what happened? Wasn't he making his faith confessions or what?
Living here. In this world.
Yeah, living in this world. Anyway, here's Jesse.
And about a week ago Saturday, if I get closer to you, I got makeup on my face. I had a battle with a concrete floor. And the concrete floor did not bend one iota. But neither did I. Praise the Lord. So I got a major black eye. Got to remind me when I was 10. I'm getting younger. So they put a little makeup on it and all that kind of stuff. And but God's been so good and gracious. Actually, what happened, this should have never happened. I never fall, never. I'm in a pretty good shape, you know, as far as a man my age. But to make a long story short, I bought a painting. Let me just say this so everybody can understand this. I bought a painting and I brought it home when I was in my truck. So I opened up the back of the truck and I pulled it out, and the Lord said, wait for Kathy to help you. Just like, you know, as you grow old in the Lord, he don't holler at you no more. Still small voice. And even when he talks, sometimes Elijah said, that ain't him. But it is him. Now, why? So Kathy's in the truck texting Jody, and the Lord tells her, Kathy, help Jesse. So she disobeyed God. I disobeyed God. So I grabbed the painting, I pull out, it's a very big painting, beautiful, beautiful painting. So I got it like this, so I pull it out the truck, and I turn this way, and there's the wall. So I turn like this, and I'm walking toward the wall, and I'm going to put the front of it down like this. Then with the part I got, I'm going to just lift it up against the wall. Well, there must have been something there I didn't see. And the next thing I knew, I was knocked out. Bam! And just for a few seconds, and Kathy's still in the truck. Texas, finally she comes, she goes, oh, I can hear him. Oh, Lord Jesus. It knocked the wind out of me. It knocked me out for about 5 or 6 seconds. Came to my son, I went, let me get up here so I can get my breath and stuff like that. So it's worse. This doesn't hurt at all. But what happened is I tore all the muscles between my rib cage. So if you hear me breathe, go, hallelujah, and thank God. Could be a little pain right there, you know. And I mean, what happens is I thought I cracked the ribs, but you know how your ribs are like this? My muscles are like this. But they're growing back together. So it's been a week, but that's been fine. So that's the reason for that. But I didn't stop preaching. Last week I went straight to and preached there. And oh yeah, there ain't nothing stopping. Nah, I don't make no difference. And I'm not trying to man up, not trying to be a man and all that kind of stupid stuff. I passed that a long time ago. But God has been so good and gracious to us. So I thank you for praying for us. And I want to deal.
What happened?
Did it cut out?
No, that was the end of it. But what happened to God's man of faith and power?
Well, I guess reality struck.
Yeah, I guess he's human just like the rest of us. How come he wasn't making his faith confessions?
Was he saying there at the end that he wasn't, that is this a current thing where he says he's not going to stop his meetings in spite of anything?
Well, I'm going to play this, the next audio. This is, he went and held his church service last week anyway. He didn't abide by the regulations.
Nothing wrong with streamlining. That's a live streaming, whatever you call it. I don't know. I get them all mixed up. But see, that can be a dangerous precedent. See, Satan will use that as convenience. After a while, ain't nobody going to church no more. See, live streaming is not commitment to that. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Let's face it, you could sleep better on Sunday than any other day. Even your kids know that. Right? Saturday, you can't even get out of bed. They already been up 3 hours eating cereal and screaming and hollering, fighting. Sunday, you got to drag them out of bed, hit them in the head with a stick, get up. Oh, man, we don't want to go to church, man. Sunday is the only day that Satan sleeps in. He don't want you here. Thank God that we have live streaming. Did I say it right? Okay. But it's not a prerequisite of stopping the assembling of yourself. The assembly of you. Wait a minute. We can't do that. Ha! You see? See how sly it is? Don't get too many people together. I notice when people were worshiping, they're all doing it, and somebody get a little close, they go, that's called germophobic. If you don't bow to the outside pressure, you won't burn up in the chaos. When duty is clear, action must be prompt. My duty was to come here today and tell everybody that wanted to know we will have church. Yes, if you want to stay home and you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But if you'd have come, you'd be in a lot better shape right now. You know what? Watch it. You think I'm sucking the virus off of her? But I'm taking the faith off of her. She's taking the faith off of me. It's called corporate anointing. Are some of y'all going to run out to church because I'm getting close to you? See how silly and foolishness that is? Man, I've seen great men. There's a leper colony in Louisiana. Boy, some of these priests, a lot of Protestant preachers would preach against the Catholic Church, but you didn't see them going in, not, at least I hadn't heard of them, going into those leper colonies, but those priests walked slap into that leper colony, buddy, helping those people, touching them. Kind of reminded me of Jesus. Jesus said, I can't touch you. Jesus put his hands on them. So what are you going to believe? You're going to stop the laying on of hands? Woo! I'm getting to that in just a minute. When duty is clear, action must be prompt. Are y'all writing it down? I'm trying to go as close as I'll go over these in a minute. There are times when our duty to our belief is prominent. See, you have a duty to your belief. There are times when our duty to our belief is prominent, and no excuse is required. You don't have to make excuse for it. That's what those three Hebrew children said. We're not careful how we answer you. Because the king I serve is the King of Kings. Yet they had never heard of Jesus. They heard this, Hear, O Israel. Lord thy God is one. There are times when our duty to our belief is prominent. And the excuse is required. No excuse is required. This is the first time I put makeup on this black. You know, because some people go, oh, what happened? One lady told me, she said, Kathy had enough, huh? I wish she had enough of Louis Vuitton. I wish she had enough of the others, but I wouldn't mind having that, Lord Jesus. But anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. I know she say it's your duty. She's given away over 22 Louis Vuitton purses. You know what them thing cost? I paid them all. And she told me, it's your job or your duty to replace them all. I said, okay. Which brings me to my next point. Quiet persistence in what you believe to be right is a duty. We must please God rather than man. I knew we was going to have service today. And we're going to live stream too. We'll do all of it. You see my point? Quiet persistence in what you believe to be right is a duty. So that's my duty to be a blessing to Kathy. It's quiet persistence. I must please her than any other woman. Why?
So what did you make of that, Jackie?
That just made me think of Jesus saying, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. You can't test God. Oh, well, you said that, you're saying that the Lord, I'm the God that healeth thee. So therefore, we can go out and expose ourselves to anything. And God's got to come our way. You know, that's what the devil told Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. Toss yourself down and the angels will carry you.
Yeah.
And that's when he says, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God.
Yeah.
And because he wasn't going to jump down and sure, maybe the angels would have carried him, but that was the devil saying to test God in such manner.
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying. Oh, well, you know, we're all here and we can do it because, you know, God's going to be there for us.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't there when he fell and knocked himself out. He's
no.
just as human as anybody else, and prone to accidents and prone to sickness and disease. And notice he has to throw it in there. Like, what did the 22 Louis Vuitton purses have to do with anything? That he robbed the money from the people in the first place by collecting tithe money and seed faith money to buy his wife 22 Louis Vuitton purses?
Yeah, well, he wants to keep buying them, so he doesn't like people staying at home and going along with the global effort to try to put this disease at bay. And you know,
obvious.
Him confessing all over the place isn't going to do any good. That's not helping the situation. He's really not being a very good neighbor to do what he's doing so that he can keep buying those expensive purses for his wife to be able to give away and buy friendships with.
Yeah, exactly. That's obviously that's not the good shepherd looking after his sheep at all. So I didn't notice him shaking people's hands. I didn't watch the whole service, but I watched probably 30 minutes of it, and I was trying to glean some things for the clips, but I didn't notice him shaking hands and hugging people. Just like last week when I watched Kenneth Copeland's church service, they didn't lay hands on anybody. So they like their big talk, but we'll see. He's talking about the priest going into the leper colonies. When was the last time he went to a leper colony?
And you know what? From what I understand, it's just the primary part of the disease that is contagious. And some of the times when you're left with all the sores and everything, it's going into its secondary phase where it's not contagious. And some people understand that when it's white, it's not contagious. And you know, even though it might look the most bad, but you know, the other problem is people really putting fear in others, saying that all of this is happening. It's part of the New World Order plot to try to get everybody locked in their houses so that the New World Order can take over. In fact, I spoke to somebody who lives actually in Croatia, of all places, who is pretty much afraid that this is the New World Order trying to take over. And people are saying, well, it's going to bring in the cashless society since money has germs and all this kind of stuff. Now, that could be, but what I told her was, this is really this one thing this virus has shown is that there is a need for people to watch their borders. And this is something Trump has been saying all along, is we don't know what diseases people are bringing in with our borders. So actually this works against the New World Order. And then of course there's all of the ideas that this was just intentionally done by the Democrats in order to stop Trump's rallies. There's a lot of talk. Now those might be the results of it, but I don't think that they went to Wuhan and set this stuff free in order to stop Trump. And you know, if this works and everything goes out, Trump's going to be stronger. And we're hoping that that's the outcome, because now he's probably won't get as much opposition in building the wall and those kinds of things. So, you know, there's all of those kinds of ideas that came on. And I gave you a couple of clips from Michael Voris, who, you know, sees this in his view as kind of a conspiracy, like it was an intentional thing to go after Trump or to set us up for war, when all the other countries around the world are going through this themselves. So that's kind of hard to picture that too.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the thing about the Democrats, well, they would, it's so contagious, they would give it to themselves. So it's hardly something I would blame on any political party, because it's a very contagious thing. And, it's going to strengthen the borders. But the thing with the money is God called money filthy lucre. He said it was filthy to begin with.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't like to handle cash. Back in the day, people used to roll it up and snort cocaine through dollar bills and heroin and all kinds. You don't know what's on a dollar bill. So
that's why
God said it. God said it. He said it was filthy. And so now they're saying that, you have to be careful of touching money, which the thing with the coronavirus is it lives in the air for 36 hours. So if somebody coughs or sneezes and out into the air, it's supposed to live in the air for 36 hours. And it can also live on cardboard. It can live on surfaces. It'll eventually die off the surfaces, I think, after something like 24 or 48 hours. But it can stay alive on things. So, but anyway, I'll play some of those clips. Let's first hear this clip from Rodney Howard Brown. Let's see this rebellious.
I know they don't want us to do this, but just turn around and greet 2 or 3 people. Tell them you love them. Jesus loves them. Amen. Listen, this has to be the safest place I said, this has to be the safest place. If you cannot be safe in church, you're in serious trouble. We are not stopping anything. I got news for you. This church will never close. The only time the church is closed is when the rapture's taking place. This Bible school is open because we're raising up revivalists, not pansies.
But what do you make of that?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, if you go along with the effort to contain this virus, you're a pansy.
Yeah.
That is spiritual malpractice.
Yes.
That is a dangerous thing to tell people who, let's say, you know, they're in the age range that it's the most dangerous for. That again, like I said about that other pastor who pretty much says, oh, well, they'll be under the blood of the Lamb, nothing to worry about. That's presumption. That's not faith. And that's in fact, that's dangerous talk. When you know, I'm sure many Christians in China and in Italy have died from this. And so you're going to knock their faith. It's like the faith healer said, well, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't have that flu. If you had enough faith, you know, you wouldn't be suffering from cancer. You know, that just demonstrates the stupidity and falsehood of the whole word faith, health, wealth, and prosperity gospel.
Yeah, well, the thing is, when they get sick, then they don't like to admit it, or they don't want the public to know. Most of them have died sick, or T.L. Osborne, his wife died of cancer. It wasn't something that they wanted to talk about. But we're human. We're in this world. Jesus said we were going to have tribulation. And I don't understand it all. But all I know is that bad things happen to good people. And to mock someone and tell someone that's suffering, that obviously you didn't have enough faith, it's really cruel. And
or to endanger somebody's life by telling them, since you're a Christian, you can't get this because you have enough faith. You can go out there and keep on shaking hands and keep getting together with all these, you know, hundreds of people not knowing, you know, where they've been or what illnesses they may be bringing in.
Don't know. He had everybody turn to each other and shake their hands. The video is on YouTube, defying the information that's been put out there. Obviously, anybody, like I was telling the story last week, I think, about somebody coming to my house, or my mother went out with a family member, and they didn't tell us that they had the flu, and she went out with them, and they kissed her, and then she was deathly ill. So it wasn't her fault. It had nothing to do with her faith, except somebody with the flu didn't have enough sense not to kiss an elderly person. And I've seen it firsthand how quickly you can catch things from people. So it's just ridiculous for a pastor to talk like that. Oh, just arrogant.
Irresponsible. Yeah, it's arrogance and irresponsible.
Yeah, he says himself, in a sermon that he preached a while back, that he put some kind of virtual reality equipment on his head, and for some reason he cut his head open or something from this, and he had to go to the hospital because he was bleeding. So it was an accident, but it happened.
Yeah.
It happened to him. So for him to be so irresponsible about this thing, when, like you said, so many people, what are you going to say to the over 4,000 people that died in Italy, or the people that have died in other countries from this virus? But it's just ridiculous. Anyway, but this is how it's going to be. And they'll get worse, because a lot of them are going to suffer financially now, because because people aren't the bodies aren't coming into the pews. But here's Rod Parsley and his little sob story.
And regardless of how that decision was made, we bless you in your decision, and we believe God with you. But I want you to know that in most pastors' heart, when they think of no services, and they have a staff to pay, and they have a light bill to pay, and they have an electric bill and a gas bill, and you know, all that it takes for ministry, fear tries to grip their hearts. What will we do? Well, if we can believe God to keep us safe from COVID-19, we can believe God that He will not let our finances fall. We can believe that. And that's what we believe. So let me very quickly, and I want you to stay with me. Don't go anywhere yet. Stay right there with me, because if you leave me, you won't hear what I'm about to say. In just a moment, I'll release you. And at that moment, you will have a choice to make. So hold on. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring all the tithes, 10% of your sanctified gross income, into the storehouse, into the local church, that there may be meat, food, word of God in my house. And prove me now, try me, God said, if I will not open the windows of heaven to you and pour out a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Let me give you one more verse. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, heaped up, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will give into your bosom. For with the measure that you meet, however much you give, with that same measure, it will be given back to you again. Here's what I want you to do. I've got a beautiful, beautiful digital download for you. It's called 40 Decrees and 40 Declarations for Faith and Fasting. I want to get it in your hands. It's an absolutely free download.
Yes,
in just a few moments, I'm going to release you to go and give, because the vast majority of you will have to leave this page to do that. Please, hear God. Remember, we're in the Sundays leading up to the greatest miracle of the year, Resurrection Seed. We're believing God for the greatest miracles in your life. We're believing God that you will sow your greatest resurrection seed. In just about 2 minutes, Harvest Clubhouse is going to have a special presentation for all your children. But just before that, I'm going to release you now. It's offering time, and I want you right there to follow the instructions on your screen, and let's make a record today. Let's let the enemy.
Well, his people are going to have to be doing a lot of fasting when they give their grocery money over to that con man.
Oof. Yeah, really one of the worst con men. And then notice how he says, well, you know, the pastor's. Oh, they worry. I guess they got a light bill. And well, what are you worried? You're God's man of faith and power over there. What are you worried about your light bill for?
And he has to have the mood music of the organ playing behind him to get his message across.
Yeah, he's going to release you too. Now I will release you. Yeah, you're going to release the people from that spell you got him. Oh, they get all excited. They start applauding as he's got the gun out when he's sticking them up over there. And they're applauding as he's, oh, bring ye all the tithes. You've been tithing how many years, Rod? How many years have you been tithing? And you're still worried about your electric bill?
And you're bringing the tithe into the temple? Is he the temple? The body of Christ is the temple.
Yeah,
so,
he says,
you know, if we should be bringing
own...
it to the, I was going to say, if you should be bringing it to the temple, then share it with other believers who are in need, as they did in the book of Acts. Those who those who had plenty helped those who were in need. That was the temple helping the temple.
Yeah, well, no, he's not saying go help anybody. He's saying we got a light, you know, we got a light bill here. And he has that sorrowful voice. I notice he puts his own words into Malachi, bring all the tithes to the storehouse, the church, the place you get fed. Where did you get that from? I know.
No.
Oh, please. Dear Lord, help us. Help us. It's like, put them out of business. But they're going to be in for one big shock. This is a little wake-up call for these guys. Yeah, you're going to be worrying about your light bill.
Isn't that awful? Well, you know what? I think hard times really do shine a light on the worst in people and the best in some people. Because I see the best of people coming out at times like this. And at the same time, with people like that, the worst comes out. And then you can see the division better between the sheep and the goats. And that's important, that this shines a light on those things for people who have eyes to see, that, I've just seen instances where people I know have helped others, and you're seeing a lot of that going on. And that's the best part, is to see, the goodness that we can show to one another, that the strong can help the weak at times like this, and that way we can all get through this.
Yeah, because he lives in a $1 million home. You're worried about your light bill, then why don't you take out a line of equity on your house? Come on, stop it already. They're so afraid to spend their own money on your ministry has a need. So if your ministry has a need, then you kick some money in over there instead of begging and promising things to people that you can't fulfill. So God's not obligated to give you, to return anything to you. You're supposed to give from your heart, not because you want something back. It's a gospel of selfishness. Anyway, I'll play that clip now. I'll play that clip from Michael Voorhees.
Yes.
Here we go.
Something is seriously wrong here. Too many stars are aligned. Too many dots just too easily connected. The Vatican, McCarrick, the Chinese Accord, ranking U.S. prelates, admiration for Biden, the coronavirus now destabilizing markets, not to mention killing people all over the world, as well as bringing the sacrifice of the mass to a virtual screeching halt, to an upcoming election where the party of death nominee is a China ally and cheerleader. It's all just too weird. And, oh yeah, Vatican, just exactly where is that report on commie agent McCarrick, whose shenanigans elevated China even more and gave permission for Vatican Marxists to sing the praises of the atheist Marxist regime? You know, that report. We're all still waiting. More than 500 days now, and we're still waiting. There can be no doubt, when the damage is this severe and the players this evil, that there are gigantic evil forces just offstage, just behind the curtain. Too many coincidences and relationships, way too many. There are always massive forces just offstage, but when the sacrifice of the mass is directly touched upon, we have moved to a different universe. Pray and fast. Pray and fast.
All right, so that was from the Catholic perspective. You know, Michael Voorhees does the Vortex, where with Church Militant, where he's showing the wickedness inside the Vatican. And, I wish I could have, you couldn't have played that whole thing, but he was, and I didn't get that right, the right clip, where he was saying that China, he felt, was the Catholic Church in China was really not holding their evil government, he felt that the government of China was really trying to strike. A lot of people are talking about Trump right now, and we all need to be praying for our president, by the way, but a lot of them are seeing this as a conspiracy against Trump, and Boris is seeing it as a conspiracy against Trump between China and the Catholic Church in China and in Rome. And it is interesting that that's where the cases are the worst is in China and Italy.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, putting a stop to their mass.
Putting a stop to their mass, which is a good thing.
I know. But he sees all of that as a conspiracy, is a spiritual conspiracy against the Catholic Church. So, you know, I guess wherever you're at, different people see what's important to them. And I guess that's what I was pointing out. That's what's important to them when the conspiracies kick in. And you know, the same thing, you know, the other one that I gave you, Steve Bannon. I don't know if you know who he is. He does Israeli news.
Yeah, I don't know who he is, but we'll play that one too.
Okay, because he sees this as a setup for getting us into a war, and so there's all kinds of different viewpoints. I guess I'm trying to get across. Depending on, you know, we've been talking about the word faith viewpoint. Well, that's one viewpoint, but in the rest of different areas of Christendom, everybody else is in the center of these things, and you know, not just the preachers and the word faith movement, but Catholics and the, I don't even know what you would call Stephen Bannon. He has some interesting things, but he really is a fear monger, put it that way, all the time. Disaster is around the corner every time you listen to him, and you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Please, yeah, I know it could drive you to drink. with all these, they can tell a lot. It's like they had this book. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a book about all the different families, the wealthy families, like the Mellons and the Rothschilds. I think it was that Fritz Springemeyer or something. And anyway, he can tell you what they were saying in their houses. And I'm like, look, you can't tell me what somebody said in their house. You weren't there. So you can't believe all these stories you hear. And of course, we're not endorsing the Catholic Church. We don't want you to think that we're endorsing the Catholic Church in any way, shape or form. But that's just his view, even though we're praying for Michael Voris that he'll see the light and come out of the Catholic Church. But he sees it as a conspiracy against the Catholic Church with China. Yes. But of course, we know. And you can see throughout history that most of the countries that were communist were Catholic. So there's something going on behind the scenes. And you see this Pope coming out, and he's a total New Age Pope. The things he says and the things he does, it's awful. It's really awful. But anyway, that's their view of how they see of how he sees that they're trying to stop the mass and that kind of thing, which actually trying to stop the mass is a very good thing. And,
amen.
God says, two former Catholics, Jackie and I were both raised Catholic, so we know what we're talking about. And thank God that God got us out of that mess. But
really?
Yeah, really. Mea culpa.
But really, play the Steve Bannon clip, because I want to see if you agree that this is setting us all up for some big, huge war.
Okay, here we go.
The more that I watch things that are unfolding, I'm really starting to think that the coronavirus, besides being a front for 5G, things like that, what they could be rolling out, I'm, you know, really beginning to wonder if we're not getting set up on a war posture in this country. When the president invokes the, this is where he does this war act thing, and he puts that out, the war, invoke the War Production Act, and then we see all these surgical ships and even our hospital ships being staged different parts of the country, some people might say, okay, pandemic. it's not a pandemic. We're not seeing what China saw or Iran has saw. Very small numbers of people, and yet they're shutting down the entire country over something that's not even gone nuts yet. And then seeing the Defense Production, War Production Act there that the president is invoking there, that's really got me wondering as to, are we really preparing for an attack that's coming on America? Those of you that remember, I've been saying this since last year, when my Middle East source shared with me that the United States would take down Iran. Israel is going to be involved in that. But it would be a chain reaction of events. Russia would strike the United States with a limited nuclear strike. And then, of course, America would retaliate striking Russia. But then I was told, whatever you do, Steve, get your family. If you're not going to leave the country, then you need to get your family away from the urban suburban areas of big cities, because they're going to genocide your nation.
Okay, that's scary, right? They just want us all locked up to genocide us. Yeah, I'm just saying that that's just another extreme that people like him are, you know, are looking for the next big thing to happen. And he kind of sees, you know, Israel and America as, you know, to get in some conspiratorial thing that is, you know, going to bring upon some big war upon us. And you know, I think what I see is that every country is weakened. If some people think that, well, now that, you know, Russia doesn't seem to be hit as much as that, are they going to see that as a good time to strike us? I don't think that those are healthy things to speculate about, that they're going to come in and commit genocide on the West.
No, that's not going to happen.
But yeah, but you that's see how people happen. Like that can freak people out?
Well, of course.
That something's just around the corner, you know? And he never tells what his sources are. Never. He's always saying, yeah, I heard it on this. But never does he give a source.
No, but he just, obviously he doesn't sound like a believer, because the way we look at it, it's the times we're living in is we're fulfilling Bible prophecy, and it's a glimpse into the great tribulation. Is we're having this little tribulation now, and it seems like it's a lot for people to handle what's happening. The Bible predicts the great tribulation, and those things will happen. But this guy doesn't see it this way. He sees it as some kind of government conspiracies. I don't care what the government does, as far as you can't stop the book of Revelation. It doesn't matter what the government does, what the Russians do, or what anybody does. God is going to have his way. And that's the way it's going to be. So for us Christians, the best thing to do is to stay in the Word of God, and to stay grounded in the Word. So then we're not swept up with this every wind of doctrine and being tossed to and fro, and maybe it's this and maybe it's that. It could be a lot of things. But one thing we know is God's Word is true. And so we may have to go through things that we don't like going through while we're passing through this earth. Obviously, we're living in a fallen world. And so China's not in charge. Russia's not in charge. I'm sure the president and the people there, they probably can't believe it themselves that everything that they built or were trying to build, it's all falling apart. And there's not much they can do about it except try to help the people. It was interesting, too, that this friend of mine was saying that Donald Trump is acting more like a pastor and trying to give back to the people, like more than some pastors are doing, where they're taking and we need your $91 seeds and we need your tithes and we need your offerings. Well, now they're opening up the Treasury of the United States, which they should do, and give people maybe a year tax break, tax holiday. Talk about a year of Jubilee. Give people a break and because they're going to need it.
And there's enough things to be fearful of without other people just either stirring up your anxiety, or then the word faith people trying to get you to get your guard down. I mean, those are like two extremes that are both hazardous to your health.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, let's hear what Paula White, spiritual advisor and pastor to the President of the United States. God help us.
Ready to pray truth, because the one thing we're going to pray is the Word of God. We're not going to pray just our own feelings. We're not going to pray anything else. We're going to pray truth. Now, if you're watching right now, at the very end, we're going to take up the tithe and offering, but I want you to know that you can give. Do not hold back tithe and offering. That's part of our covenant. That is part of our covenant. So we know that tithe is a tenth of the gross income, and offerings are free will. I'm not afraid to say, I always put my, I'm not going to change because of public scrutiny, because one hater or somebody or 10 or 20 or 50 people look and go, oh, or they call me something that I'm not. I have lived by faith through the Word of God all my life. I don't know how he does it. Twan, I don't know how he does it, Greg, but I have stood on the Word, and I particularly tend to give offerings based on Scripture. So I'll put my faith with the Scripture. So every week I'm sowing $91. I did it yesterday, you know, and I'll do it again today. And that's me. If someone wants to sow $9.10, or, you know, do whatever you can do. But remember to honor God with his tithe and your offering. We'll talk about that again at the end, but don't just hold back and withhold. I pray that you are blessed by the Word of God, and let's pray now. Let's bombard heaven on your behalf. Go ahead.
Humanitarian standpoint, but the greatest thing we do is bring spiritual truths that transform. What we do as ministers of the gospel is so vitally important, because every single day we are a hospital to the sick. Not necessarily the physically sick, though we also help take care of that. Many churches have health centers, etc. But we are a hospital for those who are soul sick, those who are spiritually sick, because we bring forth the Word of God, and we bring forth truth that gets deep down in your soul in the way you think and you feel about things. Maybe you'd like to sow a $91 seed, and that's just putting your faith with Psalm 91, or maybe $9, or whatever God tells you to do. If you want to be a blessing to Paula White Ministry or City of Destiny, you can go to the website at paulawhite.org. We would love for you to help us and stand with us. We'd love for you to stand with your church. Don't forget, now is not the time to abandon your covenant with God. It's the time that you go deeper. Stand with your pastor.
Eye roll.
I know. The Academy Award. I think she's taking acting lessons, because, oh, she's so dramatic. And she's like a little spoiled child. I don't care what the haters say. I'm going to give my $91. I gave it last week, and I'm going to give it this week.
Oh, gosh. Well, give the $91 to the person ahead of you in line who is counting their pennies to get enough food to feed their families when they've lost
yes,
their service
exactly.
job. That's
exactly.
where it should go.
Exactly.
Seriously. That's where the offering plate is at the source where it's needed.
Yes, exactly. Because she lives in another one that lives in a over $1 million home and drives a Lamborghini. And look, honey, empty your, get some money from your own bank account. You need $91 that bad? Please, stop it already. And it's pitiful. It's pitiful. But God is God, and God's on the throne. And this is only a little shaking for some of these pimp preachers out there. It's a little shaking. And hopefully, maybe some of them will repent and turn to God. I don't know. Or they'll just get greedier than ever. But
I hope their followers leave them, you know, see the light.
Oh, I do too. Obviously, anybody that can listen to that. Like you said, people are hurting. They're not working. They have families. They have bills to pay. Like the families we came from, they depended on their paychecks to feed
right.
their family. And so these people don't, obviously she doesn't care about those people. She didn't mention all the suffering people. She's talking about herself. Don't forget mm-hmm. your covenant. Don't forget your tithes and your offerings. Well, you should have been saving up all those tithes and offerings that you've been collecting all these years and have a fund set aside. And everybody in your church that isn't working and needs help, that's what it should be used for, not for you to buy more cars and more houses and get more plastic surgery and mm-hmm. whatever accoutrement that she has on her body.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All her padded undies.
Yeah, that's it. So you won't be able to afford all. Maybe you won't be able to afford all those things anymore. And she even throws it in the service that, you know, our insurance is due and it's $5,000. So that was like hint for somebody to pay her church insurance. Anyway,
wow,
it's pitiful. It's pitiful. But the true colors are coming out. Anyway, that's our program for today, Jackie. Do you have any closing comments?
No, just pray for each other and do comply with these temporary measures and pray that it works and that this virus is stopped and doesn't go any further. I mean, and pray for President Trump. I mean, we all care about our loved ones right now. Look out for them. Look out for one another. That's all I can say. This really is a global panic time. You know, people are panicking, and I just, again, that's where our faith comes in, to be careful and not to panic, and you know, to just realize that none of us are immune from this, and we all need one another, and we all need to comply and not contaminate, you know, and wear gloves, do all the things you're told to do, and pray. And God, I believe, will hear our prayers.
I do too. And I know even for myself, for a few days, all I could do was cry when I think about the suffering and how people are hurting. And this is a good time for the church to step up and to show people the love of Jesus and the compassion of Jesus. So it's very sobering, this time that we're in. It's very sobering to see how quickly things can change in our lives and how something can happen and you really don't have any control over it. We're totally dependent on God to get us through this time. But I think it's very eye-opening, and I think for many of us, it'll help us to mature in the Lord and to be ready for anything, because we just don't know. We're in this world. We're not of this world. Anyway, Jackie, how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to get in touch with you?
Well, they can look me up on Facebook or go to raptureadyradio.com and listen to all the other programs. And hopefully a lot of people are stuck in their houses and you can get a lot of food from the Word through some of these programs that are on Rapture Ready Radio.
Yeah, and then you have also your newspaper, the Christian Sentinel.
Right.
Which is excellent articles on there. And then they can hook up with you on Facebook if they like to also.
Yeah. Yeah, we have good discussions over there. And I'm also on YouTube. You can look up my name on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, you've got that series going where you were visiting churches.
Yeah, well, I can't do that right now.
No. No, I mean, you don't want to, but yeah. Anyway, Jackie's got a public Facebook page, so you can hook up with her there. And so God bless you, Jackie. Thanks so much. Another great program. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it very much.
Always a pleasure, Susan.
Yeah, thank you. God bless. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Thank you let not your heart be troubled. And we're going to get through this with God's help, but let's be sober and be vigilant about the times that we're living in. And we don't forget who's in charge. Of course, God is in charge and he's sovereign. So whatever we have to go through, and nobody ever expected anything like this. We never did. We never wanted anything like this, but the word of God is true. And that's all we can do right now is just trust God and to be mindful of those around us. If we see a need, we try to meet it. And we see so many beautiful acts of kindness in the news. I love to see those news reports with people helping other people. And that's what God wants us to do, is to be a blessing to the body of Christ, especially, and to those around us. So God bless you. Don't forget the most important thing today. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't have that blessed hope and that blessed assurance. But today you can know. Jesus said in the 3rd chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess your sins today and ask him to forgive you of your sins and to give you a brand new life. And you won't have to be afraid. Jesus can give you peace because he is the Prince of Peace. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies 4 square. The gates are made of jasper and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.